One of these days, I'm going to start the podcast with a joke. I said I was going to do this last week, and I was going to do it for today's episode, but it just doesn't feel right off the back of this episode with my guest, Bing Coomer. This one went in a very, very different direction to how I thought it was going to go. Ben has been on the podcast in the past. We did episode 59, eating real food, Instagram selfies, and just being awesome with Bing Coomer, and that was in April 2017. This is a part two. It's kind of a part three because I was on Ben's podcast, episode 293, before I went to the Sahara to run six back-to-back marathons. I talked to him about setting big goals and extreme personality traits. So I'll actually link that in the show notes as well. I'll link both episodes in the show notes. Today's episode is a little bit of nutrition, a little bit of fat loss because that is Ben's area of expertise. But some incredible stuff on the mindset side of things. What I love about Ben, and I've said this three or four times during the episode, is his constant improvement and his constant desire to improve himself, the way that he shows up in the world, his productivity levels at work, his ability to reflect on what's making him happy, what's making him unhappy. So this is a massively wide-ranging conversation. So we do talk nutrition, we talk fat loss, and especially around things like behavior and habits and standards for the reason that people don't hit their end goal in their fitness. So whether it's building muscle, losing body fat, losing weight, that it's because your standards aren't high enough and your behavior has either got self-sabotaging tendencies in it, or you've set up an environment so that you're not going to be able to succeed, aka surrounding yourself with the wrong people that aren't helping you move towards your end goal. So we do talk about that. We talk a lot about digital media, your phone, and asking the question, are you addicted to your phone? And talking through some of the improvements that Ben has seen in his life since he started to do more digital detoxes. Asking difficult questions is another area that we cover. There's an amazing part about two-thirds of the way through where I ask Ben what drives him, and he gets very vulnerable in this moment to the point that I even offered to cut this part of the podcast, but Ben being Ben and basically showing people that they can be vulnerable, and it's allowing you to become a stronger version of yourself through people not hiding behind a mask. Ben said, keep it in the episode, keep it in the podcast. And he spoke through some of the things that happened through his childhood and early life that are the reason that have driven him to be a high achiever now, but how he's had to go back and reflect because even though he was achieving so much, he wasn't necessarily happy. It's something that really connected with me on a personal level, and I think it will be the same for anybody listening, regardless of your circumstances. So we talked about that, talked about getting silent and reflecting and improving your own life, the power of journaling for basically making note on the things that are making you happy. There's a lot of a happiness angle to this episode. Ben, particularly over the last few years, because of his constant desire to improve his life and improve his happiness and fulfillment levels, we've talked everything that he's done over the last 2 years, especially because it was about 2 years ago when we did episode 59, and everything that he's done between now and then to improve his life quality. This is a massively wide-ranging conversation. I don't even know what to title the episode because we've talked everything from being addicted to your phone, digital distractions, raising your standards, fat loss behavior, nutrition myths, the problems with some of the things that are going on in the world of social media, and everything in between. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode with my guest, Ben Coomer. Hey Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined with my guest today, Bing Coomer. Some of you will surely recognize Bing's voice from either his number one rated podcast, Bing Coomer Radio, or his first appearance on this podcast way back in April 2017, episode 59, eating real food, Instagram selfies, and just being awesome with Bing Coomer. Bing is a nutritionist, coach, speaker, writer, and former obese man sharing his journey. Day-to-day, Bing coaches in his Fat Loss for Life coaching program and is the owner of Awesome Supplements and the BTN Academy. Bing loves coffee and food, plays rugby, hits the gym, and tries to be as awesome as possible through constant improvement. I'm so excited to catch up and talk all things health, fitness, and nutrition. Bing, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, dude, thanks for having me. 2017 since we last rocked the boat.
Mate, that was nuts. I didn't feel like it was that long ago, but no. I suppose we caught up on your podcast for, I think it was 293 I was on yours. So it wasn't that long ago we caught up, but man, that feels like a lifetime ago.
It does. But hey, the world moves fast these days. We're always surprised, but hey, we're back.
I love it. Tell everybody what you've been up to over the last, it's been nearly 2 years now at this stage since you've been on this podcast, but things have been, we're going to jump all around today because of everything you've been doing for the last couple of years, but give us a little bit of a brief synopsis to how the last 6, 12, 18, 24 months have been for you.
Yeah, why not? So I have just tried to get better at what I do. I think in the modern age of fitness, how connected we are with the internet, with our phones, how much we like can do in our lives. It's almost like there's so much opportunity for everyone and everyone these days because we're so connected and technology has just changed literally everything. So I've tried to just simplify my life. I probably on a personal level have tried to really act on a lot of minimalistic theories. Over the last sort of 6 months especially, I've been trying to declutter like my home office, my mobile phone, like literally everything that's around me. I've tried to get rid of everything because I find it's just so easy to accumulate things these days. And actually, when you look at something as simple as a mobile phone, actually, when we used to allow all these things to just jump on our phone, like apps and photos and all this kind of stuff, now actually we have to manage it properly because video files are so big these days and all sorts of stuff, like even our phones are getting clogged up, which means our brains are getting clogged up. So I've really tried to hone down on what I want to do currently within the fitness industry. I've also had to marry that up with becoming more of a leader in my business. I have quite a big team now, so I have to spend a lot of time being a leader and managing and not just coaching and all that kind of stuff. So that's a transition for me. But it's also a trend that I started to see in the fitness industry. People were maybe becoming a little bit overwhelmed. This kind of connected thing started to become a little bit too much for everyone. We weren't really allowing ourselves to be present in our workouts, in our relationship, with our food prep, because this mobile phone was just in at every angle. And do you know what? I personally started to get pissed off of it, and I've got quite a strong mindset. I'm quite a resilient person. I'm quite an organized person as well. So if I was feeling that, everyone else must have been feeling it too. So I've really focused on that a lot over the last sort of 6 to 12 months to help myself out mentally and emotionally.
Oh, let's stay on that for a minute, just because this is something I actually wanted to come to today, and I made note of it because you've been putting up great content recently on, you know, what's your relationship like with your phone, social media in general. Talk me through, was there like a catalyst moment where you were like, right, that's it, I need to go minimalist lifestyle? Did you read something, or was it just that you were feeling overwhelmed yourself and made the decision to make change? What was that kind of process like? Because there's a lot of people listening that are in that exact area where you were, and I was as well, in the sense that you're feeling like in control of your phone's in control of you. What made you decide to kind of go with a more minimalist lifestyle in all areas? Was it one moment, or was it a continuous thing over time?
It's probably two key things. And like anyone, we kind of almost need to break things before we have that true realization that something needs to change. So I've been speaking about kind of minimalism on and off. I've had the minimalists on my podcast before, which was amazing. And I thought I was doing pretty well. But, you know, when something, you know, I'm a business owner, I'm also a coach and a teacher, I do quite a lot of things. And if I want to maintain my output and being able to do all of those different things, I need to become savagely organized with everything that I do. So it was a case that my business was growing, I was having to become a leader and a coach and a speaker. And then there was just this big noise in the middle of social media and emails. And I thought, do you know what? I need to be really, really strict. And I already felt I was quite strict. So it was a case of like mental overwhelm of what I was having to do every day, notifications on my phone, all sorts of stuff. And then the second thing was, you know, me and my wife probably were really, really open people. We've developed a really good sense of communication between both of us, because we realize if we want to have a really strong and meaningful relationship, we need to be really direct in our communication, and we need to spend quality time with each other, and we need to be there emotionally for each other. And the mobile phone was getting in the way of that. And I, out of habit, you know, might have checked some things. We might have been in the car going somewhere and I was on my phone doing a few tweets or something. It's like, well, actually, if I put aside that time for that person, I should be present with that person. If I've committed to that being what this time spent together is about, if I was with my brother and we're in a car and we were chatting and I was sort of on and off my phone and we worked together, then it's all cool. But if I've said, hey, wife, should we go out for dinner? You know, I should be committing to that time spent. And we had a couple of, you know, conversations around that. And I sort of started to speak to her about the kind of width and time allocation that I need for my work. So I had to present my case to my wife, and my wife, you know, presented how she felt back to me. And I said, right, well, let's work out a middle ground. I need you to understand what I need to do for my work, and I need to understand and care for your emotions as a person, because this relationship means a lot to me. And it was kind of those two points. Well, actually, some things need to change because I can't quite get it right with all the things that are demanding for my time and emotions and mental headspace as well. So it was kind of those two things. So I took all notifications off my phone apart from Slack, which is something I manage my team's business with. I only check my emails at certain points in the day unless I've chunked it in my diary. And I just made lots and lots of rules, and now I live by those rules. And I'll be honest, I'm in a pretty good space with it. I tell you what, it is a difficult transition. It's like anything, you know, people talk about the risk of like moving a job. It is kind of similar, because if you move job, all the things that you do every day now change. And actually, a lot of the stuff I do in my day has now changed. And actually making that transition was quite difficult, because it's almost like I wasn't getting as much value back, because I don't think enough people get this, but we have to feel like we're giving value to the world. You know, we need that feedback that we're doing a good job. And as a leader in a business, you don't often get that all the time, because you're quite often firefighting. So I had to start to reframe how I got feedback from doing my job, because I wasn't quite getting that every day. If I'm not checking my social media that much, I'm not getting that kind of drug of seeing that feedback and people going, hey, Ben, that was an awesome post, or you really made me think, or thanks for helping me out. And actually, I need that as a person, just like everyone does. Like, my wife needs to know that I love her every day. Like, she needs that. So I need to make time for that. And I probably wasn't aware of how much I would need that in transitioning, you know, through these different stages of life that I'm going through.
I love that, because it's funny when you take control of your day like that and take control of the things that you can do mindlessly, like scrolling through email or social media. I have very similar strategies. Like, my phone never comes off silent. It's always on do not disturb unless I'm expecting a call. I check emails once per day, and I batch my social media time. I think it's so important to take control of that, because otherwise it's very easy to mindlessly kind of get sucked into that dopamine hit of the next email, the next social media post. What's your social media strategy then? Do you, because of the way you check emails and, you know, the strategies you have with your phone, do you have something similar for social media? Do you batch check your Instagram and Twitter, or what do you do around that?
This is really interesting, actually. I have a mentor, and last week I was actually feeling quite angry, quite frustrated, quite low. And I reached out to my mentor, and I was like, "Mate, I feel stuck. Can I have half an hour of your time tomorrow?" And he said, "Yeah, 9 o'clock. I'll speak to you." And I just leveled with him, and I was like, "Mate, things are going well in my business. Like, we're moving forward. I'm happy. We're doing this and that. But I feel angry. I feel frustrated." And he was like, "Well, talk to me about where you're almost not getting your cup filled up." And one thing I'd been starting to do a lot more over the 9 months, last 9 months, is attend a lot more CPD events. And it was because partly I am learning and I'm having to learn lots of different things as I progress through my career. But I wasn't getting my cup filled up enough. I wasn't getting re-energized. I felt like I was constantly giving out. And this is probably how, busy mum feels. Like, they're always giving time and attention to other people, and sometimes they don't make enough time for themselves. And one of the things I said to him is just like, "I almost miss being on social media, but I have to have really strict boundaries of how I interact with it. And usually I do it at like at the end of the day." And that was kind of a win for me, because I saw how my work was impacting other people, because my social media is generally, a positive thing. So he said, "Well, how do you feel today?" And I said, "Actually, I feel a lot better." And he said, "Well, what have you done today?" And I said, "I made the decision to do my social media first thing in the morning. And usually I wouldn't do that. Usually I'd get up in the morning, and because I'm self-employed, I'll tackle a big project, like a big article I want to write or a new bit of whatever. And it's usually something where I turn off the world and I go all in on that." And that was actually very important for me to do that, building my business when it needed a lot of that work. But I don't do as much of that anymore, because kind of my business is built, so to speak. So he said, "Well, next week, why don't you try and get up in the morning, do your social media?" And the only social media I now is, a certain few things, and my staff and team help with me other stuff. He said, "Do your social media, then turn your phone off again, and then write a section of your journal." And I've never actually stuck to a journal myself. Because A, I've never felt that I kind of needed it, because I'm quite a reflective person. So now I do, I think I do need it. So I've now started it. But also, a lot of the journal books that you get, I don't actually like the way they're formatted. So he said to me, he said, just write your own journal, write your own questions, write your own structure, and refine it over time." And I felt a lot better since then, because I'm kind of waking up, I'm getting my dopamine hit, I'm feeling like I'm making an impact into the world. And then I sit down, I write down how I feel, I put structure to my thoughts and emotions. Then I look at my day's plan, which I always plan the day before, and I'm like, let's go. Because the reality is, I need to feel really good about my work so I continue to go and give passionately to more and more people. So actually, that was a really good reflection for me, because I'll actually normally isolate myself from social media and kind of do it as the last thing of the day. And I've now switched that because of, where I just am with my job and how I feel about the work that I do every day.
Yeah, like as you kind of move forward in life and in business, kind of priorities change in terms of once upon a time, you probably didn't need that hit in the morning, whereas now it's kind of sets up and kind of lights up the day. I'm curious, because you do so many things, Ben, and the amount of impact you have on the world through your podcast, through social media, through everything, you're speaking, you're writing, what are you most excited about right now?
Oh, a couple of things. On a personal front, I've been talking to a book agent, and I'm very close to hopefully securing a mainstream publishing deal. So that's something I'm really excited about, because I've written a lot of books over the years, but I've written them as like, self-published, put them on your website, and lots of people have bought them, but I'd love to have something out there and, put a real footprint down as part of my legacy. And I think writing a published book is a good way to do that. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited also about my next challenge in business. We've set up a lot of really cool stuff behind the scenes that no one has seen yet. And I actually want to challenge myself to take that next step in business, to really grow it, because I've done a lot of building, and now I've got to go out there and, tell the world every day for, an extended period of time of everything that we've done and how we can benefit the world. So those are the two key challenges, because I've spent the last 18 months really working on myself as a leader. And that's a leader to other people. It's also a leader in my relationship. People often think that leadership is this thing that is only in business, but I want to be a leader in my life, a leader in my relationship, a leader, you know, to my team. And I actually think leadership means someone that is in control and someone that is able to analyze the situation for all of its individual components and bring it together with a solution. And that's what I think true leadership is. And I think sometimes people think it is just this kind of business term, but I genuinely think it isn't.
Yeah, I think the term leader is, it shows up how you do anything, it's how you do everything. Like the skills that make you successful in business can make you successful in a relationship, can make you successful in fitness. It's, you know, the exact same way of being and way of showing up. You mentioned your a potential book. I can't wait. If that comes to pass, I can't wait for that. And I'll be sure to bring you on to promote it on the podcast as well. But I know you're a vivacious reader and you're, between the books that you write and obviously the guests that you have on your podcast, is there any books that you've read over the last 12 or 18 months since we spoke last that have had a most positively affected your life, or ones that are kind of top of mind at the minute that you've enjoyed recently?
No. And I say that, and I had a very interesting and quite a heated discussion with an industry friend a while ago. And we were in Spain and we were sat down and he was like, you know, what are you reading out right now? What are you learning? And I said, I'm not actually learning that much. I'm learning a bit about behavior and how people are kind of engaged emotively in what they want to do as a person and their relationship. So I've been doing a little bit of reading around behavior change, but actually I had to kind of stop learning for quite a long period of time because I felt like I'd learned so much, I just needed time to implement it. And I think in the information age, we can all easily, really easily do this, where we're just in this habit of opening podcasts and listening to things and reading books because it's kind of like what you do. But I kind of said to myself, like, there's still so much I'm trying to implement from courses that I've been on and books that I've read, that I'm getting frustrated that I don't have enough time to do it because I'm learning all this other stuff. And for me, something just had to give. So I kind of put a learning ban on myself, you know, because I'm in a leadership position in my business and stuff. When I drive my car quite often these days, I actually just sit in silence. And I do that to allow time to think because I work from home. So I get up in the morning, you know, I seize the day and I'm doing stuff. I'm working on projects, talking to my team, writing emails, coaching people, teaching on our academy. And actually, if I then dive into my car and just put on an audio book, and I'm not saying this is the right or the wrong thing for anyone, it's just me and where I'm at. You know, I just wasn't allowing my brain to just go, ah, how do I feel about things? What do I want to reflect on? And I genuinely believe that, you know, a lot of the problems that we have and we're trying to solve are very easily solvable if we allow ourselves a lot, you know, a good amount of time to think on them and solve them. And that's why kind of what I needed to do. I just needed more time. So I've started to pick up learning actually a little bit more now, but not too much because I'm actually very much in action mode. And then outside of action mode, I'm actually just in enjoyment mode. I'm just, you know, going out, having fun, working out. I've just been to Belgium at the weekend. I'm going to the Norfolk Broads for 2.5 days at the weekend. The weekend after, I've got a conference. Then the next 2 weekends, I'm going to spend in my garden. I'm building an extension to my garage gym. Like, I'm actually just now in this place where I'm actioning stuff. I'm working, I'm doing things that my business need, and then I'm just having fun. So learning is actually very minimal for me, and I'm sorry that I didn't ask your question directly and I've gone off on a tangent, but it's just where I'm at, and I'm just giving my body and brain what it needs and not being influenced by other people.
I love that. I think that's just such an interesting way to approach a situation. Like, it's nearly, you consume so much. And I always think of the information age, like drowned in information and starved for knowledge. And you can only consume so much before you have to let those ideas percolate and then actually take action. I know you didn't answer the question directly, but I love that answer because it's not what I expected. And I think it's a very valuable approach, because there'll be some people listening that, yes, there's times when it's consume information, read books, listen to podcasts, do all of those things and feed your mind. But there's going to be a time when it's like, right, you need just to pause and reflect now and figure out what are the next action steps that you're going to take. You know, I love that answer. To take a slightly different direction, because you put out so much value across the spectrum because of your constant need for improvement, similar to myself on personal development. You put out great content around all areas of life. So I'll link it in the show notes for everybody. If they're not following, to go follow your Instagram, your Twitter, and I'm sure people are subscribed to your podcast. But when I think of you, Ben, I always think nutrition, because that was kind of the thing that gave you your, I want to say your base when you started first, because I've been following you long before we were ever connected, listening to your podcast, following your Facebook page, and it was always the nutrition stuff that kind of brought me into your ecosystem first. Your Fat Loss for Life coaching program, that's been doing wonders for people. Can you talk to me about that and how it works?
Sure. So I take an individual on a 90-day journey, and while it's all focused on nutrition and fat loss and all the things that people kind of want and need, it's a huge, there's a huge personal development program element to it, sorry. And it's because, you know, I was running this program for 18 months, and we used to have a start date and an end date. And I was just picking up this vibe from people of like, basically, why are you not getting results? I've put all the information in front of you. You know what to do. And, you know, I was getting like a 50% failure rate on the program. And I was like, I'm not happy with that as a coach. It's not good. And because it's kind of a group coaching program, I obviously have to cut a few corners because it's not one-to-one, right? So it was my kind of mission to say, well, I want to scale this program. I want to be able to help hundreds and thousands of people. How can I get this balance between personalized coaching, but also on kind of more of a mass level? And, you know, the reality is loads of people have got loads of different problems and reason why they can't lose body fat. And it's rarely genuinely because they don't know what to eat, or, you know, they're struggling with this whole calorie concept and stuff. It's genuinely rarely that. It's people's environment, the relationship they have with themselves and the food that they eat, the people that they surround themselves with, and the habits that you have maybe around your social life. Like if you always go out, you know, drinking with your friends, because that's going to be really hard to maintain a healthy body weight if that's always your social environment. You know, all the different things that goes on in our head. All of this stuff was actually the stuff that was people holding people back from their fat loss. So I kind of really went to town, and now actually my coaching program, it has like 10 to 15 minutes of coaching in it every day. So I actually ask for quite a big commitment from people when they come into my Fat Loss for Life program, because it's like, by the way, you're not just going to get a diet plan and sort of sail through this and learn some nice recipes. I'm actually going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you as a person. I'm going to challenge what you believe in. I'm going to challenge how you feel every day. I'm going to challenge the standards that you set for your life, which I know you'll also be a big fan of, Brian. That's what I learned from Tony Robbins. Like, where are your standards set? If your standards are in the toilet, you know, you don't value your health, you're not going to decide to eat healthy this day. You're not going to decide to work out. You're going to probably, if anything, have quite a lot of self-destructive behaviors because you just don't value yourself. So there was loads of these things that I started to put into the program, and our success rate has gone through the roof because now we're really getting to the heart of what people's problems are. And it's genuinely rarely not about the food.
That segues perfectly to what I think is the obvious question to ask now is, what are the general problems that you see? If it's not food related, of course it's individual to each person, but are there any trends that you see, as you said, outside of the environment, the habits, behaviors, is there any like one or two trends that come to mind when you think this is what people need to address first before they even, you know, go down the rabbit hole of different diets, etc.? Anything jump to mind when I say that?
So there's two key things that I challenge or impress upon my clients as soon as they come into the program. The first thing is what I just mentioned about upping your standards. I teach people and show people why it's so valuable to have a high level of expectation for yourself. You know, I set my standards really high for myself. I want a lot out of my life and body, which means I make the decision to eat well, fuel my body, go to bed at the right time, get my workouts in when I need it, spend time with my wife, go outside and have fun, walk my dog in outside and get some fresh air. I set these standards for myself, which means I make completely different decisions every day. So that's the first thing I challenge with my client. The second thing is I get them to accept and know that they can and will develop extreme ownership in my life. It's one of my favorite all-time books by Jocko Willink and Leif Babin. this book is titled Extreme Ownership, and it is a leadership book. But again, it talks about leadership from a perspective of like, you can be in control of your life if you choose to be. It might not be that you feel like you're in control right now, but you can be. We can make different decisions. We can change environments. We can reframe how we feel about some situations. So we, you know, just genuinely feel better about it, and we can handle, you know, maybe negative people, etc. So those are the two big key things, because if we take extreme ownership, we're now willing to accept that we can and will make changes, and changes equal progress. And when we have high standards for ourselves, it means we're willing, wanting, and able to actually make those changes, because we have a different standard for where we want to be in the future.
Yeah, I think that behavior change, again, is what makes your coaching with people so good, is because you're able to delve that little bit deeper than here's the calories, here's your deficit, here's your macro split. It's, well, let's figure out why, what behaviors, what habits, what standards have you set for yourself that's stopping you hitting your end goal. One of the things that I know, because of the way you are on social media, you're kind of coming in and out of it, similar to me in terms of how you batch the day. But you see a lot of diets, and man, we had this conversation, I think, on our first episode. Is there any things on social media right now, even though I know you limit your time on it, that are annoying you or that are a bit of a pet peeve at the minute when it comes to certain diets? Is there anyone in particular that you're like, man, that just shouldn't be on the internet?
Not really. I'm really, really rarely in my social media feed, just browsing. It's like, it's probably like 20 minutes a week, if I'm honest. So, and I feel a bit bad for that, because actually I'd love to keep up a little bit more about so many people in the industry. Like, I'd love to follow more of your work, loads of other people's work. But the reality is I have to really protect my time so that, you know, because social media is addictive, right? Like, I know it, you know it. Sorry, that's my doorbell going and my dog going.
That's
mental.
A great doorbell. Don't mind this normal boring ring.
they'll leave it around the back, it's fine. So when it comes to actual social media content, I think this kind of we're in this snowflake syndrome era where everyone's offended by everything. People are calling people out for like fat shaming. We've got this like healthy at any size movement, which I'm sorry, I can't get on board with. Like, you know, for me, it's just a justification to say, oh, I can be really happy and healthy, you know, being 7 stone overweight. And I'm like, you can be happy and I will accept that. But I'm not going to, as a, you know, as a health coach, stand here and say, yeah, it's fine for you to be 7 stone overweight as you start to age, because that's literally factually not correct. We know that this is going to have many links to onsets of disease states, especially as you start to get, you know, 40, 50 years old. It's putting pressure on your joints, your organs and stuff. So I can't get on with that kind of stuff. So that's maybe some of the stuff that frustrates me on social media, because, you know, while everyone needs to be their own person and be healthy and stuff, you know, we do need to accept that living a healthy weight is actually a really good thing. And I, you know, being an ex-obese man, the amount of times I told myself that, you know, I'm happy and healthy at 16 stone, which is 5.5 stone overweight, it was a lie I was telling myself.
Yeah, it always comes back to one of the quotes that I mention most often on the podcast is from Nobel physicist Richard Feynman. Don't fool yourself and you're the easiest person to fool. Like, it's very easy to convince yourself because it's easy, you know. And one of the reasons I love that that's the way you approach it is because you've came from that world. You are obese and you came out the other side. And I think it always means more coming from somebody that's lived the journey and been through it and be like, yeah, you might be happy, but you're not healthy. I'm a health coach. I was overweight. I was obese. I'm telling you, it's not good for you. And I think that resonates more strongly because of your personal experience. Ben, over the last couple of years, you've had some amazing guests on your podcast, like countless people to even that jumped to mind straight away. James Haskell was on a recent episode that I was listening to, and just, you get these amazing people on. And I know from talking with people like you and other guests I've had on my podcast that you're either opinion shifts from talking for other people, or you get advice or information that you just didn't expect to get. Was there any episode in the last year or so, in the last, say, 50 episodes, where you got a piece of advice or any standout knowledge that has served you since you heard it?
Oh, that is a pretty killer question. You probably should have warned me about that one. Christ.
Sorry, I should have sent it over.
Do you know what? It's really tough. And this is why I love podcasting and actually talking to people, because you're learning as you go. You know, you get an opportunity to have a conversation with someone that you respect. And actually, you know, it's kind of like free coaching in a way. Do you know what? I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I think one of the things I've really tried to do even more, we've kind of talked about it today already, is like really being brutal with chunking up your time and being very strict on yourself, because otherwise what you'll find is there's always something that's kind of more pressing than what you want to do. So for example, one of the things I'd prioritized, you know, too much over the last sort of 8 weeks is kind of my work and my business rather than my workout. But, you know, I was getting sort of towards Thursday in my working week, and I was getting a bit like angry that I hadn't worked out earlier in the week. And I've only been to the gym like 1 to 2 times a week for the last 8 weeks. And I'm now at a place where I'm quite frustrated with that, because I've lost a bit of muscle, don't feel as well conditioned, and kind of feel like I'm not myself. And I prioritize work, and, you know, maybe I needed to do it at the time, but I don't actually think I did. Maybe I just started to lose my mojo a bit with training. I kind of got injured a little bit with my arms, so that was a bit frustrating. But you end up paying for it further down the line because you get frustrated. And while the world is always busy, we need to keep remembering to kind of have fun, hit the gym, go out and, you know, enjoy ourselves with friends. And I kind of lost my way with that just a little bit as I focused on sort of other people and some of the stuff that I had to do with my work. So coming into this week, as I sit on this podcast right now, I'm committing to 4 gym sessions. I'm making the time, even if other people are asking me for stuff to do, because I know that if I get to the end of the week and I haven't done that, I'm going to be really frustrated with myself, because it's going to kind of build up and I'm not going to have got those gaps of mental freedom that I needed. So I can imagine I probably picked that up from a podcast guest. And because I'm quite a reflective person and I spend periods of the time of the day in silence, I probably just sort of worked that out over time by myself. But I probably got influenced by that, talking to someone and those ideas coming to fruition.
Yeah, it's like a cross-pollination of ideas. When you're talking to these amazing people who are doing great things, you end up picking these nuggets of gold and they all add up. And then you end up implementing them and you're not really sure where they came from. That's happened to me countless times. That's why I'm so grateful for doing what I do. You mentioned quiet time there, or time in silence. Do you follow any sort of like meditation or meditative strategy, or do you just sit in silence and reflect? What does that look like?
Yeah, I don't have a strict meditation routine. I kind of did some stuff when I was younger, probably like 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. I was trying to do some active stuff, and it did work to a degree. And I think, you know, we can learn a lot through going through periods of time where we're intensively focused on something. So if I was intensively focused on meditation and I start to learn and acquire that skill further down the line, I can do that skill but with far less input. So for me, meditation in my life right now looks to be in present. And for me, that's all it means now. So rather than having to force myself to be still and to be able to reflect, I try and go through every task in my life now just being present. So I have a lot of boundaries with my mobile phone now. So whether I'm working, whether I'm talking to someone, whether I'm coaching, whether I'm teaching, whether I'm with my wife, I'm fully present. And I actually now don't feel I need this kind of like intervention of meditation, because my brain is actually free to always be within the moment. And I think that's a truly powerful thing. And that's why quite a lot of the time when I go and drive, like I'm going to drive to the gym later, it's only a 10-minute drive, but I'm going to spend 5 to 6 minutes in silence, thinking about my day, no interruption from my phone. Then I'll put on a really good song that gets me up for going into the gym, and I'll be in a good state of mind before I go into the gym. So yeah, I have done meditation, hugely value it. But for me today, right now, it does look very different. And it's very much about being present.
One of the things that I love about you, Ben, is that constant improvement. Like every time I talk to you, you're always further along in the way that you see things and the way you've experimented with different things like meditation or just your philosophy in general. I love that because it's constantly, well, how can I improve or improve my thinking so that my life is better in some way? You mentioned minimalism earlier, which is something that you've adopted. Is there anything else that you've changed your mind about in recent years? Or even on that note, is there anything that you once believed that, you know, 3-4 years ago, you were like, this is the way things should be, and now you're not so sure, or else you've kind of sit on the opposite end of that spectrum? Meditation was obviously one that you experimented with, and now you don't need it because you're practicing being present. But is there anything else that you've kind of changed your mind about in recent years?
I don't know if technology is going to continue to be a good thing for a lot of people. I think people really do need to learn a lot how to let technology into their life. Otherwise, it's going to start to be very overwhelming for people. I'm still struggling with this kind of word balance. We've actually got a nutrition conference soon for our company, and my topic is actually, does balance exist? And I don't think it does. I think it's something that people will constantly have to fine tune and change. I am a highly flawed person. Most people are highly flawed people. When we boil down to it, we've always got things that we'd love to permanently change about ourselves, and you know, that can be negative if we don't control it. The key thing for me is accepting that we are highly flawed but highly beautiful people. And we are beautiful because we are flawed. And so much of the fitness industry is built to act on people's insecurities and areas that they want to improve. And that's great. I'm not taking that away. I operate in that space and I provide, you know, products and services that help that. But one of the things people believe is that they are fundamentally going to kind of change who they are at a core level. And I don't actually think that's going to happen for a huge amount of people in the way that they think it does. And I think probably my perspective has changed on how much we can change ourselves. I've changed an awful lot as a person, but fundamentally, deep down, what drives me has not changed. Just how I express it, how I manage it, has changed over time. And I think I've become at one with that, and I've just learned different ways to sort of manage that. So I want people to listen to this and kind of know that some of what they are about is changeable and some isn't. And it's about having coping mechanisms and habits and routines that are all, you know, really positive for all of this stuff, rather than just always fighting to try and change it and wishing things were different.
That's such an interesting perspective. This is a question I'm going to ask, and it may make the show, we can edit it out if needs be, but what drives you, if you don't mind sharing? Because you mentioned there that at the core, it's the same thing that drives you. If you wouldn't mind sharing, what's that thing that drives you? Because you're such a high achiever and you're constantly improving yourself, improving your business, serving the world. What is it that drives you, Ben?
What drives me, and yeah, no need to edit this out at all. I'm a very honest person, and I'm more than happy to strip myself emotionally bare and have it rebuilt again, because, you know, if we can't share this with other people, then people can't be really honest and vulnerable with themselves. But I need to be valued. I need to have respect for my work. I need to have a level of success that makes me feel confident and comfortable with myself. This all happened as a result of my early childhood. My parents broke up when I was younger, and my dad was very much not really involved in our lives growing up. And this made me, as a young male, very driven to be noticed and loved by my dad. And I can't change this. This happened as a kid, and it happened over many, many years. So the breakup happened when I was about 11 or 12. So all through my teen years and into my early 20s, I didn't have, you know, love as I expected it from my father. And this made me a high achiever. That was then compounded by the fact that I was an obese and unhealthy man. I then lost all the weight, found this incredible new sense of confidence where I could kind of do anything. So when you couple that with a deep desire to kind of be noticed and have notoriety, it made me very driven to be successful in my career path. And it wasn't until I was about my mid-20s where I started to become at one with those emotions. I went through a little bit of psychotherapy, and I did a lot of self-therapy as well, and talking to other people, and had a few head-to-heads with family members because that's where I was at in my life. And I went through a period of reframing, you know, how I go about getting this notoriety. And if we rewind, you know, towards the beginning of the show, I was talking about some new habits and behaviors I'm trying to change in my lifestyle now to make sure I'm getting that, because I've removed myself from technology so much. Actually, I'm not getting a load of this feedback that my work is valued. And actually, I need that. I need to see on social media, I'm not saying millions of comments, but I just need to see some positive feedback to say, hey, Ben, listen to your podcast this week, really changed how I think. Thanks so much for the podcast. High five. And it's just those little things that make me sit there every day and go, the work that I'm doing is valued, and I'm leaving an impact on the world, and my work, I'm respected for it. So I had to reframe and work at how I get that in different ways, because I've now morphed into a different character. I'm a leader to a team of people. I have to fight issues every day, because the reality is, you know, running a sizable business, you are firefighting every day, you know, unhappy customers, things that have gone wrong with technology, like all that kind of stuff. So that's deep down what drives me. And I think I'm constantly working how I make sure that behavior, that deep down desire and emotion, is managed in the most possible way, because it could be something that's very negative. People will see my success only for the positives, but it has brought some negatives. So it's about me knowing that about myself and doing the best with it that's humanly possible.
No, thank you so much for sharing that. That's your ability to articulate your words shows how reflective you are as a person, to be able to put across an amazing point. And I think for anybody listening, asking those difficult questions, and you generally don't like when those answers come back, and that's how you know you need to lean into that discomfort. You know, an issue in your childhood, an issue with your parents, an issue with your self-worth, and you know, things that I've dealt with myself. You have to lean into that discomfort. And Ben, a massive thank you for sharing that, because your impact that you have is so great, because not only is it massive in the sense of what you do, but you have such a secondary impact. Like, we have, you know, 90,000-100,000 downloads a month on the podcast. I started my podcast off the back of listening to your one. So you're having these secondary impacts off people who are trying to strive to do what you did, and you kind of trailblazed and kind of led that group. So your impact is greater than you'll ever know. So I just wanted to value that and just acknowledge that for a minute, and just a thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I think if one thing that's come out of this conversation, like, the more extreme the environments we often put ourselves in, the more extreme the coping mechanisms are that you need to support them. So if I think about when I was a personal trainer, you know, the feedback that I had within my job is, you know, it was every day. It was on the gym floor. I could see it. I could see people moving and, you know, losing weight. And actually, you didn't need to go home and almost fill up your cup, because you were constantly kind of getting your cup refilled so much. But what you can see as I've evolved in my career is that my job has acquired a massive level of responsibility. You know, I've got staff and I've got people, thousands of people using our products and services and that. And because it's such an extreme kind of environment to be in, I'm not really sure about my words here, because I'm just trying to navigate this in my head right now. But when I look at the yang to that yin, I have to then go into this other really restorative environment to make sure that I can go back the next day and kind of handle that. And, you know, however many mentors you listen to, or however many books you read, or however much advice you get, you've just got to sit and be present with some of that stuff sometimes and kind of work it out. And that's why I'm spending extended periods of time, you know, in silence, thinking about things, because, you know, more learning doesn't help sometimes. Don't get me wrong, learning is key. But when we've got a load of facts and figures and data and opinions, we just need to allow time to let it settle, for you to contextualize it, and for then you to be able to find a future path. And, you know, I'm still doing that a lot for myself. I've been doing it a lot over the 9 months. It's about taking all this stuff that we talk about all the time in the fitness industry and make it right for me, because the stuff I'm doing right now is actually really different to how I was doing it 9 months ago. And it's not right or wrong. It's just right for me.
The restorative environment, that's a very interesting word or phrase that I haven't heard used before, and I have a very similar process as we spoke just before we went on air. Like, I moved out to the country, you know, over a year ago now, and it's amazing what a disconnect. Like, I don't even have, you know, Wi-Fi in my house. I use the connection from my phone when I'm online, and a little bit of a disconnect from technology and quietness and getting into silence works really well as for a restorative environment. Do you just go into a room? What does your restorative environment look like? Does it matter where you are? Do you have any triggers that you set up in terms of, like, you know, you go into the gym, into a quiet space? What does it look like for you when you're going into those kind of pause and reflective silent times or moments?
Yeah, so all of these things are about me filling up my cup emotionally, physically. So going to the gym is one of them, because it makes me feel good about my body and myself and my strength. And it also means that I can feel confident about my work, because I do believe that I have to be I have to have a certain amount of health and fitness for my job. I'm essentially positioning myself as a role model to other people. I have very open and honest conversations with my wife. So, you know, she might come home from work and we'll go and walk the dog together. And, you know, if there's an issue, I'll just tell her how I'm feeling. I'm like, I'm feeling like this. I feel it's because of this. Can you just help me unpack it a little bit? And that then allows her into how I'm feeling. She's also a very good talker. She's a nurse, so by trade she's very good at, you know, breaking down people's problems and seeing the root cause. So that gives me a lot of comfort, knowing that I can unravel things with someone so close to me. Taking time off, going out and kind of walking the dog, and just making sure that I, you know, leave my phone for periods of time and just go and have fun, enjoy moments with other people, go out canoeing down the river or whatever. And actually, sometimes this is probably a negative thing to my social media, because, you know, many influencers will be posting all this kind of stuff like, oh, I'm out for dinner, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And actually, I don't do a huge amount of that, because I'm actually just enjoying the moment. And that's probably the right thing for me, and probably not the best thing for the business sometimes. But, you know, there's pros and cons to everything. So all of those little things are just about me being able to fill up all the different cups that I need filling up, so I can be my best self every day.
Yeah, that's such a catch-22. I find the same struggle on my side, where, you know yourself, it's being present in the moment right now, but you're aware that a personal brand, you know, your personal brand, my personal brand, it makes sense to be able to take that photo and post it on stories. But sometimes I remember, even when I was, you know, running through the Arctic, I had to have Simon beside me, was taking videos, because I'm like, man, I just want to enjoy this. Well, enjoy as much as I can. And there's moments where you're pulled in two sides for what's good for the business and posting on social media versus, is this going to affect my experience and actually enjoying it, particularly if you're with other people? I'm going to take a slightly different direction now with just a couple of other random questions before we finish. So answer them however you see fit. When I say the word successful, what personality trait or characteristic comes to mind, and why?
Vision. I think knowing what you really want and why you want it. I have felt my vision sort of wane at various points in my career, and my level of success has always been very small. And it's because when I've reflected on the result of all the effort I've put in, I haven't been happy with the result. And that means my vision was out of alignment, because I've ended up with an incorrect result. So it's about really getting down with your vision. And actually, I've got a meeting with my team at the end of this week, and we're going to sit down and reevaluate, like, right now with where we're going for the rest of the year, is the vision correct? Are we about to apply all of this effort in the right way? And it's really important for me. And it becomes harder when you kind of progress in your career, I think, because actually your vision can look very different at very different times of the day in lots of different situations, because my roles in the fitness industry have been built in a plethora of ways. And actually, I have lots of different roles. So right now in my job today, I could say my vision is, you know, to be the best leader to my team and to grow into an international market. Da, da, da. Or it could be that I want to be the best fat loss specialist out there, and I'm going to create this concept that da, 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 da. And actually it does become difficult. So I try and bring in people around me now that can help me demystify that and also make sense of it, so that when I go out and apply this effort tomorrow and the next day and the next day, we're actually all always working towards what we feel is the right thing at the right point in time. So, you know, I want people to know that as they progress in their career and progress with their fitness, it actually becomes harder, because you have the ability to do more things better. And that means that you quite often will end up taking on too much. You know, when I was unfit and healthy, I needed to just get fit and healthy. But now I'm fit and healthy, well, I could apply my time more in sports or more in endurance, or, you know, get stronger, or, you know, go through a hypertrophy block, because actually I'm in a position of greater ability. And it's interesting. People think it actually gets easier, but I think it gets harder.
Yeah, it's funny, because I can see it from just as you said that, because I would have always said that it was easier because of the compound effect and the habits. But as soon as you mentioned, the bar nearly moves, because your goals get way more specialized and it can actually be way more difficult. As you said, an easier target is to get fit and healthy than when you're already fit and healthy. You have a million different directions in which you can go. How do you navigate that? Do you how do you basically reverse engineer what you want? Do you use your team and inner circle of people as sounding boards? Do you just go reflective with yourself? What do I want for the next few months? How do you navigate through that when you've got so many options on what you can do?
So I ask my gut what it keeps thinking about. So there's a couple of, you know, avenues and ventures and stuff that I keep thinking about repeatedly at the moment. And those are the things that I've obviously created passions for. So I have to sit down with my team this week and, you know, run it past my wife and other people and go, this is what I keep thinking about. Like, does it make sense from a business point of view? Is there an opportunity? Would it be a good product for our business? How many people could we help? Could we facilitate it? Are we the best people to facilitate it? So it's not always about what I want to do, because there's lots of other factors. You know, there's wife, there's time, there's team, there's all sorts of stuff. So I ask my gut, I put all the options on the table, we go through all the due diligence processes, then we whittle it down, and then I have to sit there and go, am I happy with my direction for the next 6, 9, 12 months? It might not feel like it's, you know, the best decision in the world, but do I feel up for it? Am I going to get up every day and attack that thing? And if it's a yes, then all good.
Yeah, that gut check is so powerful. I think in any area, your fitness, personal, romantic relationships, business, like coming back to your gut, because so often you're working a job for people listening, or you're following a program or nutritional plan, or you're doing something in a romantic relationship where your gut is just not in alignment with it's just telling you no. It's telling you this isn't right. You know, your inner compass or internal compass is pointing in the wrong direction. I know that's happened to me countless times, and you get better at listening to that, you know, as you experience more. Something there I just want to pull out, because I think this is really important if anybody missed this. When you were navigating through, Ben, you brought up all these brilliant questions, and I just want to pull it out for everyone listening that there's a quote that one of my mentors used to always tell me, that smart people have great answers and geniuses have great questions. And everything you ask there when you were navigating were questions. How good is this product? How many people can this serve? I'm like, your life will nearly be in reflection to how good your questions are. I just wanted to pull that out. I'm going to take a little bit of a different one, just a second last question before we finish, because I didn't get to ask you this last time you were on, and I'm always curious to hear what people say. If you were given the chance to live one day in the life of somebody else, living or dead, who would it be and why?
Ooh, interesting. I've always respected a couple of people, so I'll come at it from that angle. I've always respected Arnold Schwarzenegger for how he's so aggressively attacked the things that he's passionate about. And I have so much respect for him because he's changed careers like in a massive way, like every 5, 6, 7 years, from bodybuilding to film to property investment. He was a laborer before he was a property investment. And then he was, mayor and all that kind of stuff. And I'd love to see that kind of gap between idea, passion, and then leaving so much behind, because I feel a little bit scared about that in the future, and I'm not quite sure how to manage it. Is that, as you said earlier, I've built so much of my work up as a nutritionist, and don't get me wrong, I'm still heavily passionate about nutrition, but I have passions for other things, and sometimes I want to chase them, and I kind of have to sit there and fact check and work out, like, is this thing that I'm developing a passion for the right kind of thing? And it's so hard to leave behind, something that you've built up, a legacy, something that you're proud of that, maybe pays your mortgage. So I'm fascinated to see what process he would go through, Arnold Schwarzenegger, to say, oh, I'm now no longer going to be a world champion bodybuilder, and I'm just going to change to do this. Because that's savage, and not many people can really do that. But the reality is, if you're not passionate about something fully, you're not going to be all in. And the thing that you can be all in about is the thing that you'll be successful with.
Oh, that's a great answer. He, his book, Total Recall, is like one of the ultimate self-help books. That's not a self-help book. Like, you're reading it going, his mindset and ability to change direction and basically use feedback, because that's what he did all the way through, from bodybuilding to Hollywood to governor, was using feedback on the environment and then adjusting course so that he could literally change career fields from the most extreme. Like, it doesn't get more extreme than Mr. Olympia bodybuilder to governor of California. Like, I think he's such an amazing inspiration, and I think very similar. I'd love to live a day in his shoes. The last question, Ben, and a massive thank you for your time. I know how busy you are with everything that you're doing. Do you have any call to action for my audience? So anything that has been kind of in your mind that you're like, I wish people would consider this question, or any call to action that you tell people to go out and set. They can DM it to me, they can DM it to you. Do you have anything that you will ask of my audience in the hopes that they'll take action on it?
Yeah, challenge what you are currently unhappy about. So many people listen to information and content to find strategies, skills, and tips to be more happy about stuff. But if you really go to town on what you're unhappy with, where there is friction, where there is frustration, anxiety, anger, then you can actually become, by default, more happy, because you're body, brain, emotion is spending too much time on trying to deal with that happy stuff to actually just manage it day to day. So these days, I don't try and, really put myself under too much pressure to work out how to be more happy, how to have more fun, how to have more fulfillment and success. I just go all in on saying, I'm actually pissed off about this. I've got to find out why I'm pissed off about it. And I've either got to deal with it or walk away or just find a solution. And actually, you by default become more happy because you're spending time on the things that you now enjoy more. So right now, I would challenge you today to go away and attack, however uncomfortable it is, that thing that you're unhappy about and is creating friction in your life.
Unbelievable. Ben, this has been amazing. Can you tell everybody listening I'll link it all in the show notes on briankeenfitness.com. Where is the best place to find out more about you, where you're spending your most time, and where is the best place for me to send people to you in terms of your content and where you'd like them to follow you?
Yeah, sure. So one thing I don't want people to do after this is to feel overwhelmed. I want people to feel calm. So, you know, don't go away and follow me on Instagram and Facebook and podcast and email and all that kind of stuff. Like, ask yourself, where do you like to follow people? What kind of information do you like to listen to? You're listening to a podcast right now. So maybe you enjoy podcasts. Maybe that works for you. Awesome. My podcast is Ben Coomber Radio. It's found everywhere that streams a podcast. Go and grab a listen, see if I'm the right fit for you. If not, all good. If you follow people on Instagram and those kind of places, you can put in Ben Coomber. But yeah, don't go and follow me everywhere. Just follow me somewhere that you think might give yourself positive impact.
Yeah, and as somebody that does follow you everywhere, I can say you put out valuable content across everything. So if you do want to follow him everywhere, I highly recommend that as well. Ben, thank you so much for your time and thank you so much for everything that you do.
You're a legend. Thank you, sir.
Oh, how good is that episode? Like, I feel my mindset is stronger as a result of having that conversation. So if you enjoyed it and you're listening to this far and you've listened all the way through, thank you so much for listening all the way through. But be sure to tag me and Ben on your Instagram stories if you enjoyed this episode, and either DM me or DM Ben or post it on your Instagram story if you're feeling really brave about the challenge. So challenge what you are currently unhappy about. Some of you, it'll be something small that you won't mind posting. For others, it'll be something a little bit more extreme, personal, or intimate that you may not want to share publicly, but feel free to share with me. And I've talked to Ben at the end of this episode. He said he's happy for people to share it with him as well. Challenge what you are currently unhappy about. As much as I love fitness and health in general and all the things that make us lean and fitter and stronger and more aerobically designed to run marathons or whatever it is, at the end of the day, happiness tends to be the biggest success metric, because you can have an amazing body, you can have great energy levels, you can have the nicest car, the coolest clothes, you can be the fittest person on your sports team or in your gym, but if you're feeling miserable and unhappy with life, none of that really matters. So the challenge for today and the call to action for today is challenge what you are currently unhappy about. And even if you never DM me or DM Ben, think about that, because it starts with the question. I know every improvement I've ever made in my life has came as a result of asking a better question on why am I feeling this way? Why am I unhappy in this relationship? Why am I unhappy in this job? Why am I unhappy in this body or body composition? Why am I unhappy with this way of eating? And when you start asking those questions, you tend to get better answers. So today's call to action is challenge what you are currently unhappy about. And I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. And that is today's episode with my guest, Ben Coomber. Catch you all next week.